Chapter 12. Trying to stop the van. The voices became louder, and three men walked into the cave with torches. Julie looked from behind the rock and saw it was Mason, Ben, and the bald man.
"Let's put all the ivory into the van now," said Mason. "We don't want any curious tourists to find this place."
"But the poachers are going out tomorrow, so we'll have more tusks in 2 or 3 days. Let's wait until then," said the bald man.
It was the first time Julie heard him speak. She was amazed when she heard his voice.
"He's got an Australian accent," she thought. "He's the policeman from yesterday's phone conversation."
"No, Mason's right," said Ben. "We should move the ivory now. We don't want any more hotel guests around here, like that girl with the balloon safari. She was very suspicious about everything on the reserve. We can't take more risks. Anyway, the clients are ready and waiting."
Ben looked at Mason and added, "You must come too. They won't give their money to anyone else. They'll only do business with you."
"Oh no," Mason said. "How long is the drive?"
"It's 3 or 4 hours to the border," said Ben.
"Okay, let's get all the ivory out of here," said Mason. "I can't be away from the hotel for too long."
The men walked past the rock, but they didn't see Julie and Sakimba in the darkness. When it was safe, Julie and Sakimba quietly left the cave. When they were outside the cave, Julie called the police on her mobile phone. She spoke in a very quiet voice, explained everything, and asked the police to hurry to the cave.
"Okay," said the policeman, "but it'll take us some time to get there. We can be there in an hour."
Julie looked at her watch. "They'll be far from here by then. The ivory will be on its way to the border. Isn't there a police station nearer to here?"
"No, we're the nearest police station," said the policeman. "But it takes a long time to get out to the waterhole."
Julie and Sakimba walked back to the cave. They were careful to walk among the vegetation so that the men couldn't see them. They didn't have to worry. The men were very busy putting the ivory tusks into the van. The back door was open, and there, next to the tusks, was the baby elephant. It was sitting quietly with its eyes closed. It didn't look very healthy.
"The baby elephant is ill," Julie said to Sakimba in a quiet voice.
"It must get to an orphanage quickly, or it could die," Sakimba said.
"What are we going to do?" Julie asked. She was worried. "They'll be ready soon. We can't let them drive away. We must delay them until the police arrive."
"Well, there's one way," said Sakimba. "A flat tire. It takes a long time to change a flat tire on a big van like that."
"But how can we get near to the van?" Julie said. "They'll see us."
"Well, maybe there's another way," said Sakimba. "We need to find something sharp, like a nail."
Julie suddenly smiled and put her hand into her bag. The nails from Kimbo's jeep were still there. She gave them to Sakimba and he smiled.
"Wow, you're incredible, Julie," he said.
Sakimba and Julie walked a few meters down the road and they threw the nails on the ground. Suddenly, they saw the van approaching them. It was already dark, and they hoped the men couldn't see them. They sat down at the side of the road and watched as the van drove over the nails. Nothing happened. The van continued down the road, getting further and further away, until it looked like a small toy car on the horizon.
"It didn't work," Julie said. "Now they'll be far away when the police get here. What should we do now?" Suddenly, the van stopped. It was hard to see what was happening, so Julie looked through her binoculars. She saw one of the men get out of the van to look at the tyres.
"I think we did it," said Julie in an excited voice.
"Yes, they're all getting out of the van. There's definitely a problem with the tyres." Sakimba took the binoculars to see what was happening. The bald man and Ben were changing one of the tyres. Mason got back into the jeep. Julie looked at her watch. It was 8:20 p.m. There was still more than half an hour until the police arrived. There was nothing to do but wait. Quietly, they moved nearer to the van. Soon, they could hear the men talking. For the second time in 3 days, Julie watched someone change a flat tyre. "I'll be able to do it myself in the future," she thought. "It'll always remind me of Africa."
"Oh no, they've finished," said Sakimba. "That didn't take very long. What else can we do to delay them?"